The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace. It all starts now.
Tell me something, do you have any friends with OCD? You know what that is, right? Obsessive compulsive disorder. Or maybe some of your friends might have suggested that that's something that they see in you. Well, Pastor Mike Novotny is going to talk to us about a different kind of compulsion today, an obsession of behaviors that are really not very good for us and not good for other people too. He calls them obsessive comparison disorder, and that's an unhealthy desire to rank your life by how it stacks up with somebody else. And this is usually bad because when it's an obsession, it's something we can't control. The Lord Jesus, through His wonderful Word, gives us the ability to get control of these obsessions, to help us to live joyfully and easily with the people around us without either slipping into scorn, where we look down on somebody else that we think is smaller and weaker and less worthy than we are, or what's just as bad is to let your heart and insides be consumed with envy that somebody else has the life you wish you had. Both of those things are bad. Join me now with Pastor Mike as we dig into God's wonderful Word for help in living this kind of a joyful life.
Just a quick church quiz today. How many of you consider yourself extroverts? Like when you're in crowds, you love talking to people, socializing, hands nice and high, a few of you. How many of you are introverts? You kind of unplug, you need quiet time just to be with yourself. Whoa, lots of introverts. You're the people who hate like the meet and greet at the start of the church service. How many of you are athletic, like your college major was probably just playing gym class all day long? Sports come kind of naturally. How many of you despised Phi Ed in grade school? You're more artistic, perhaps? Yeah. Ever taken the five love languages quiz? Any married couples here today? Isn't that the worst? Like you take it, you find a honey, oh, your gift is acts of service? Like if it was physical touch, like my gift is, our marriage just could be a lot better. But you find out that even people who get married are radically different. Parents, those of you who have more than one kid, would you say amen to that? Kids can be pretty different. Like you look at your children, you say, wait. Same mom, same dad, same house, same, are you sure this kid is mine? Like these kids are so different. I remember potty training my first daughter. We had to use M&Ms, like she has a sweet tooth, so we sugared her up and she'd run to the bathroom all the time. But with the second kid, like she wouldn't touch sugar, but you pull out a roll of summer sausage and it was golden. True story. Because my children are so different. I mean, you could take a StrengthsFinders test, a Myers-Briggs profile, the DISC profile, any kind of profile, and you would find out what I think all of us know, that people are radically different. But you know, those differences can be radically and very, very dangerous. Because if you're taking notes this evening, here's our first fill in the blank, that differences are the leading cause of obsessive comparison disorder, what I'm going to call a spiritual OCD. So if you brought a Bible with you or you just want to follow along on the screen, take a look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, Paul thought about this church that he loved, and he said, you know, you people are different. When I think about your gifts, what you're good at, how God has blessed you, it's so different. And when I think about the ways that you serve, what you can offer to the people in your row, to the people that God has put into your life, that's so different. And when I think about the way that you work and how you work and the way your mind works, it is so different. In almost every way, the people who've gathered in this church are very, very different. But he says one thing is the same God is at work. In fact, Paul does something brilliant right here in these verses that I bet you didn't catch when I read them. Paul brings up the Trinity. You see that there? He says in the first sentence, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God. That's God the Father at work. Paul brings up the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, why would he do that? Well, maybe because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are different, and yet they're perfectly at peace. If you know much about Christianity, you know that our teaching about God is that there's just one God. There's not three gods, there's not 10 gods, there's not 1,000 gods. There's just one God, and yet there is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. And they're all God, and yet they're all different, and yet there's just one God. It's this great mystery that God has revealed. What we can say, though, and what we grasp, is that those people are not the same. Did God the Father die on a cross for your sins? No. Did the Holy Spirit rise from the dead to make you right with God? No, that was Jesus the Son. But do you think in the Trinity there's a bad case of OCD? Do you think when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are hanging out talking about their different kinds of work, there's pride and there's envy? You think Jesus ever sits down for waffles with the Father and kind of puffs up his chest and he says, "Hey, Dad, you want to pass me the butter with the hands that weren't pierced for the sins of the world?" You think the Spirit's in the corner kind of moping like, "Oh, man, look at all those people down there with cross tattoos. Like, Jesus gets the cross and I'm a dove. Like, no dude wants to get a dove tattoo. This is the worst." Like, you say, no. Like, the opposite of that. We know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they love each other. They're close to each other. They are so happy when you are happy with one of the other persons of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a happy spirit when you look to Jesus and praise him and sing to him. The Father is proud when you are proud to call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. The Son adores it when we adore the Father and the Spirit. They are perfectly united despite all their differences. And so Paul, in this brilliant move, says to the church, there's just one God. And as different as he is so united. So how about you, as different as you are, be united too? That's what he's getting at in verse 7 when he continues with these words. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." If I was going to summarize everything I want to teach you today, it's probably wrapped up in that short little verse. To each one, to each person who believes in Jesus, the manifestation of the Spirit, some gift of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. In this little verse, we find out that every gift that God gives is to you, it's from him, and it's for them. Whatever work you do, whatever service you offer, it's always to you, it's from him, and it's for them. Let me see if I can illustrate it for you like this. Let's imagine it's Christmas, even though it's not Christmas here at our church. And the Holy Spirit's given out gifts, but what you find out really quickly is that the gifts are different. And the Holy Spirit has this gift for you, and he's got this for you, and he's got this gift for you. The gifts are different sizes, different shapes, different colors, but they all come from the same Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, whatever gift I choose to give to you, however I wire you, however you work, just remember where the gift is from and what the gift is for. So, for example, let's say this is the gift of leadership, and you have the gift of leadership. God wants you to remember that this gift came from him, and the gift is for the church. So you're going to use this gift not to be proud that you have the biggest gift of the three on the table, but to serve many, many people. And you're going to maybe lead one of our service volunteer teams here at our church. Or maybe you're going to lead your family to turn your home into a sanctuary. You're going to craft the vision. You're going to cast it. You're going to have goals to turn your home into a sanctuary. You're going to lead someone to a closer relationship with God or to faith in Jesus Christ. This is your gift. It's from him, and it's for them. Or let's say your gift is working with kids, right? Where most of us would last about 7 minutes in a preschool before we punched ourselves in the face and ran to the bathroom. You can handle it. You love children. You have this incredible compassion and love. Now, where did that come from? Not everyone's like that. Why are you like that? And the answer is it was a gift that the Holy Spirit gave you, and now use it for the good of the church. You might babysit on your block. You might help with the kids ministry at your church. You might reach out to a couple who just had a kid who hasn't slept in like a month, and you're going to watch their children so they can reconnect and have some time as husband and wife. The gift is from him, but the gift is for them. Or maybe your gift is knowledge, right? Maybe you love to read books and blogs. You're a podcast junkie. Why are you like that? I mean, I have some friends who love God. They're probably closer, more faithful to him than I am, but they haven't read a book since high school when they were required to. Right? Now, why are you a leader and a learner, but they're not? Well, because the Holy Spirit gave you this gift. And he gave it to you for the common good. So how can you use that gift for the good of the church? Maybe you're going to read a whole book that no one else would touch, and you're going to pull out the 5 best points and share it with your team at work. Maybe you're going to listen to 100 podcasts this month, and then you're going to pick the best one and sit down as a family and enjoy it as a devotion. Maybe you're going to read 50 books this year, and then you're going to take the highlights, type them out, and send it to your friends so they can grow in their faith. The gift is from him, it's to you, and it's for them. And the point of the different gifts isn't that we would compare sizes and shapes and how many people we affect, but that we'd be humble, realize it's from God, and it's for the good of the church. That's what Paul really wanted to tell the Corinthians. He gets really specific in these next verses. Look what he says about their spiritual gifts. He says, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. You're starting to see a pattern yet? To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, there would be something very, very, very tempting that we could do right now. And that would be to get distracted by the miraculous gifts on this list. Aren't you kind of interested in that? Like speaking in tongues. What's that? Should we still do that today? Interpretation of tongues? What's prophecy and healings? But actually, that's not Paul's point. If you were listening carefully to that section of scripture from Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, if you would look at all the lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, what you would find is that the point was never to give us this list of gifts so that we could know which one is ours. In fact, there are about 24 different spiritual gifts mentioned in the Bible, and only 7 of them are repeated in different lists. So the point was never to give the church a list of things it would need to function as a church, but if you look closely at those sections, here was the point. Be careful for OCD. Be careful when you think about your gifts that you don't get proud. Be careful that when you think about their gifts, you don't get jealous. Be careful that the differences in the church don't divide you. Let me prove that point from those sections of scripture. So Romans 12 says this. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. You could be the most talented person. You could be the smartest. You could be the best speaker, the best looking, the most successful. Paul says, be careful. Don't think of yourself too highly, because where did all of that come from? It came from God. Right? Or Ephesians 4, he essentially says the same thing. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Right? Be completely humble. If you're incredibly gifted, be careful. And if you're envious of other people, be careful too. Make every effort to keep the unity. So instead of being jealous, you're appreciative and grateful for those people in your church. Or 1 Peter 4 maybe says it best. It says, each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I don't know what gift you have, but whatever it is, use it to serve others, not to boast and not to be jealous. And essentially, the church has given us a gift because they've talked about this whole topic in this little two-word phrase that describes it all. It's spiritual gifts. And if you're struggling today with pride, or you battle jealousy and envy, all you really need to remember is spiritual gifts. Now, let me show you what I mean. Our next fill in the blank says that pride's cure is that spiritual gifts are gifts. And if you get a gift, can you really be proud about it? I mean, on Christmas morning, when you open gifts with your family and someone gets you something really extravagant, over the top, and amazing, do you think that you're awesome or they're awesome? Look at how amazing I am that you people spent your money to buy me these gifts. Isn't it crazy? Some of you have heard me say this before, that we get gifts to children. Like, you caused your mother intense pain. Like, you scooted around backwards so it was even worse for her. And then you were born, and what happens to celebrate that? We buy you something. I mean, that's not logical. That's totally, you should buy your mother something. But instead, no, it's a total gift. So how can you be proud? And Paul says the same thing about your talents, your abilities. And the flip side of it is true. We could say that the cure of envy is to remember that spiritual gifts are spiritual. That whatever gift you have, it comes from the Holy Spirit. And here's at least one thing that all of us should know about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is holy. Do you know what that means? It means the Holy Spirit never sins. It means that he's perfect. It means that when he chose this gift and he decided to give it to you, it can't be wrong. It's not like he forgot about you and had to swing by Target before you were born. I mean, he had a plan for you, and he's not vindictive, and he's not petty, and he doesn't play favorites. He's not punishing you with this gift. However gifted you are, and whatever gifts you wish you had, you have to remember the Holy Spirit is holy. The cure to OCD, both the pride and envy, is to remember that spiritual gifts are spiritual gifts. And that's why Paul wants to leave us today with this perfect analogy. Look at the last verse from our text today. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Here's what I can guarantee that you love about your body. It has different parts. One person, one body, but all these parts are so radically different. The Bible would say we have one body, but that body has many members. And as beautiful as some of those parts and members are, aren't you so thankful to God that they're different? My wife has beautiful brown eyes, but if I woke up in the morning and there was a giant brown eyeball staring back at me, I'd be like, goo, like, this has got to be a biblical cause for divorce. No, we're not together. I mean, your granddaughter might have these cute little toes, but if she was just one giant toe, that would stink. You see what I did there? Like, we're so glad that there are elbows and there are joints and there's knees and there's white blood cells, so many different parts. Some you see, some you notice, but every part is different and every part is so important. And you know, that's why we call it, when you join the church, that you become a member of our church. Do you know lots of people in the church world today don't like that term, church membership? Because we kind of think of Costco, don't we? Like, you pay them a bunch of money, and then they really don't care. Just don't set the store on fire. You come, you don't come, doesn't matter. And so people say, we can, like, that's not the idea of what church is. But actually, the phrase is perfect if you remember this verse. That we're trying to say that you're a part of this body of believers. And we need you. And you need us. That you're part of the body of Christ, and you have a gift that I don't have, and that he doesn't have, and that she doesn't have, so we need you to use your gift. Like, if you don't come to church, if you're not part of a group, if you're not active, this body can't function like it should. We're missing a finger, a toe, a joint. Something's broken in the body, and so we need you. So let me leave you with four really practical steps. What are you going to do with this truth this week? Now, grab a pen, and I want you to write this down, because here's step number one. I want you to learn your gifts. Oftentimes in our new member meetings here at our church, I ask people, what are your spiritual gifts? And they look back at me like they've never heard that question before. Do you know what your gifts are? Do you know the gift that God gave you that not everyone has? What if this week you tried to learn your gifts? You might just stop and think and write down on a piece of paper what you get excited about. If you have a to-do list of 10 things, what gets done first and what kind of stuff never ever gets done? You might ask your parents, your family members, friends from church, what do you think my gifts are? What strengths do you see in me? You might take a test, like the StrengthsFinder's test or a DISC profile, to figure out how God wired you. We need you to figure out the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. And then step two, we want you to leverage your gifts. However God wired you, whatever gift he gave to you, we want you to use that as a gift for the people of God. Step number three is to love their gifts. When you notice the difference, just pause and thank God and thank those people. Instead of saying, I wish I could play music like that, would you go up to the members of our band after church and say, I thank God for you. You help me think about the Holy Spirit. You help me pray and praise God. If I got on the mic, the church would clear out fast. I'm so glad God gave you that gift. You might do this to the teachers of your children, your nieces, your nephews. Like, I don't know how you do what you do. Lesson plans, kids, lunchroom, recess. I couldn't handle it, but you can. So I thank God what you're doing for these children. You might go to your boss, whether he believes in Jesus or not, and just say, you know, I'm so thankful for you. Lots of people can't handle leadership. The criticism, the pressure is too much, but you lead us well. You push me. It's not always easy, but you have the gift of leadership, and I thank God for you. It'll save you from the jealousy and the envy just to say to them and to say to God, I'm so glad you're different than I am. And finally, put a star next to this one. By far the most important is to look to his gift. And by that, I mean, I want you to look to the greatest gift of all, the gift that our Savior Jesus gave. What we call the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is not just that you're talented, it's that Jesus is your treasure. You know, as I get older and the more I understand about God, here's the thing I think that I missed for so many years. That the good news about God is not just that one day when I die, God won't send me to hell, but he'll welcome me into heaven. The good news is that everything that I really want in my heart, I already have from God because of Jesus Christ. All right, think about this for a second. Why do you envy people so often? Like, why do you suddenly feel bad when you notice someone who's more impressive than you? Here's what I think. Because you imagine in your head that if I was like him, if I was like her, I would be somebody. If I could get that kind of attention, if I would have that kind of success, if I could go to those kind of places, if I looked like her, if I was as skinny as her, if I was as successful as him, I would be somebody special. But you know what the gospel says? The gospel of Jesus Christ says because he gave his life for you, you already are somebody. I mean, would you be content if you were the son, the daughter of a king? Well, you are. I mean, yeah, those kind of people get attention for their gifts, but do you know who pays attention to you? God. They get to take a vacation to Hawaii. They're so successful. But you have a mansion in paradise with God. She gets a million likes and has a million followers, but you have one marvelous father. That guy can play the guitar and he gets the girls, but you have God. And if that sinks deep into your heart, if at every moment when you notice the difference, you say, no, but God is praising me. God is paying attention to me. God loves me. God accepts me. If that sinks deep into your heart, not just one day I'll go to heaven, but right now God is my everything, then you'll notice the difference and you'll say, different parts. What more could I want than God? And because of Jesus' gift, I already have him. And instead of puffing your chest out with pride, instead of slumping your shoulders with envy and jealousy, you'll just smile, you'll look to the Holy Spirit, and you'll say, different parts, and you'll mean it.
You know, what Pastor Mike was talking about, I think really can help me a little bit. You know, even deep down inside, I think it all comes down to insecurity, doesn't it? Both scorn and self-hatred both come from not liking yourself very much, not appreciating the gifts you've been given. But when we see that how we fit into God's world and see that all this has been given to us by the Lord, A, because he loves us, and B, because he is preparing a platform for us to be useful in his world. We're his agents. And he has created us to be exactly the way we are. And our great joy then is to take the freedom he's given us, take the gifts he's given us, and to serve him back. This will help us not look down at anybody else, because everything we have that may be better than someone else, where did that come from? It was given to us. So scorn should be replaced by gratitude to the Lord. And if we're good at something, rather than looking down at someone else, let's look up. Let's look up and say thank you. It also helps us for the problem that's just as bad, and that's hating our lives and hating ourselves and thinking we got nothing because we don't have what that person has. Taking inventory of what we do have and believing people when they tell us they like who we are or like a certain feature, that's a big deal because God sends those messages to our lives and invites us to believe it, that we really are somebody and we really do have something to contribute. Don't go away because I'm going to be back to pray with you in just a moment. Whether it's in marriage, church, the workplace, or dating relationships, we all have moments when we need help navigating relationships. That's why we want to send you this brand new book by Pastor Jeremy Maddock called Walking Together, Focused on Jesus.
I wrote Walking Together to be a relational tool that speaks as a friend, sharing life-learned biblical principles so you can walk with confidence in any relationship.
Full of core truths, Walking Together is the book you'll love to help you remain undivided in your love for others. And that's by keeping your eyes fixed on the highest example of a true relationship ever, Jesus. Walking Together is our thank you for your donation to help keep this Time of Grace broadcast on the air and online, helping you and others find freedom in God's grace. Call 800-661-3311, text TIME to 313131, or visit timeofgrace.org/store.
I'd like to thank you for joining Pastor Mike and me today. It's been a pleasure to be with you, and I hope that Mike's wonderful words from God's wonderful words will give you encouragement to really rejoice at your life, enjoy who you are, and find joy in serving. Shall we pray today? Dear Lord Jesus, we are gifted people, all different, but all those gifts come from you. Holy Spirit, you live within us, and these gifts are useful to you in your wonderful work as well, for you love to use people to accomplish your wonderful mission of bringing people to faith and then helping us to live our faith. Help us to look at our lives not critically, not with scorn, not with fear, not with self-hatred, but help us to look at our lives and appreciate what you have given us, not obsessing over what we don't have, but enjoying what we do. Spirit, how can we be helpful to you today? Send us information, open our eyes so that we can see how we can serve you with the gifts you've given us. That is going to give us joy. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor Mark Jeske, celebrating God's gifts with you, eager to go to work for him today. And it all starts now.
It all starts now. It all starts now. Time of grace. It all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.